Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. God be with you and keep you. And Father, thank you, Lord, for giving us understanding. Lord, these things, many people don't understand why and how important these things are that we've been studying. And because they don't know that in the coming tribulation, there is going to be the same thing on a much larger scale. And we're learning so much that we're able to pass this on to people who are going to need to know these things. And we thank you, Father, for opening the saints' eyes and ears. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Let's look at this revelation here, which is awesome. Awesome revelation of our warfare against witchcraft and the satanic realm and the poor people that are caught up in it. We just ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, set them free, Father. Set them free in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Well, this revelation is around Sandy Shaw's life. And it's a true story. You'll find it runs very parallel to what's going on in the world, as the Lord has told us. And this first revelation is talking about factions sacrificing God's babies. That's Sandy Shaw, the first of this month. And Don and Merlene transcribed it. She said, in a dream, I was in an old house that had a sunken living room. This sunken room or sunken place seems to be one that is used commonly in satanic rituals. Okay. It had four steps down. And then I noticed that everything was dark wood, walls, floors, and ceiling, and no windows. There were bench cushions all the way around the sunken area and a long rectangular coffee table and two lamps at each end of the table. I could see another door area that was a very large archway, and the floor had a brick pit that curved around the outside edge in a circular fashion, and it held a huge cast iron pot. And the fire was very well lit. Okay. Sounds like a preparation for it. Yeah. There were two persons in long black hooded capes to the floor, and one in red satin. The one that had the red cape was the one that had on black gloves. He threw something small into the pot. I couldn't see what it was, but I heard its cry. And when it hit the pot, I didn't know whether it was a cat or a human. Well, anyway, when I got to this point, the Lord spoke to me that the factious leader is Satan's high priest among them, sacrificing my babies, he said. My children, to save himself from righteous condemnation of his sin, while the righteous sacrifice of their own lives to save my children. So there's two people involved here. There's those who are sacrificing their lives in order to bring salvation to God's people, and there's those that are fighting it tooth and nail because they want to save themselves from any condemnation of their sins. He went on to say, the blood of my children is upon him and them. Their cries of death are heard by me. Then this verse was spoken to me, Luke 18:7-8. And shall not God avenge his elect that cry to him day and night, and yet he is long-suffering over them? Yes, I don't know if you know about the larger story out there, but there's been a lot of babies sacrificed. And many, many thousands of babies have been sacrificed in the physical and now we're seeing in the spiritual that this is being done. They're being cut off from the body, amputated from the body. And yet he is long-suffering over them. I say unto you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? He will avenge them speedily, those that have been sacrificed and gone to be with him. Okay. And the Lord reminded me of one of the factious who was among us when he was wrestling with faction in our midst and was talking about it. His soul was taken while we were sitting there listening to him. He cried out in our midst the moment he spiritually died. It was a horrible, loud cry from him. We knew a terrible thing had happened to him in the spirit. And the sounds he was making was like he was screaming as he was falling into hell. But after he came out of this experience, when he spoke it was the demons who were justifying what we just saw and heard as a good thing, although we absolutely knew that was a lie. Everybody knew that was a lie. And this guy was taken out. There's that cry, you know. The parallel is obvious. The deep state Satanists have been sacrificing babies for many years, and these are now being rescued by Trump forces in their underground cities, but most of them are dead and mutilated. And both of these factions are guilty of much blood. However, those who have known better are guilty, more guilty than those of the world. She went on to say, sitting in the sunken living room, I saw the top and back of two people's heads. Their arms were resting on the backs of the cushions. Each had a large black snake around their arms and neck that extended from hand to the other hand. Obviously, they were in bondage to demons, right? One of the voices said, I'm so excited, it's finally going to happen. So when she spoke, I realized that it was a sister that left here many years ago and, you know, fell into fornication and faction. And the one sitting next to her was her son. And he said, I believe it. I'll believe it when I see it. And she said, no. Everything is lined up right, and I can't wait. I can't wait. All these years and her damned dreams and all those dreamers, they think they're like gods and they're nobodies. And David is the ringleader. And her son said, do you think that blood covenant was enough? Well, the wicked Satanist faction are seeking power from Satan, just like their parallel in the secular realm, in the deep state realm. These are Satanists that are ruling over these radical leftists who are just as crazy as our faction. And that's when I spoke up. And they could not see Sandy. They had just heard her voice. And obviously that's what they've been hearing, you know, over our broadcasts in different ways, you know. That's when I spoke up. I don't care what kind of blood covenant you made with the devil. He's a defeated foe. And me and all of UBM are covered with the blood of Jesus. and in your hand the blood is required for the innocent that is crying out to God, and you will be held accountable. No plot or lying scheme will ever win against God and His people. So already you are a defeated foe. I knew they could not see me. The ones in the other room by the fire pit were looking and bewildered. And that woman and her son looked up, and they said, "Where is she?" So they could not see me, but could hear me. Then I woke up. I received by faith at random Ezekiel 33:9. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and he turn not from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. So, of course, we've been doing our best to bring warning to them. Because it was like Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." These people don't know what they're doing. They're very self-righteous about what they're doing. They think it's God. They think they're following God. You know. In verse 10, "And thou, son of man, say unto the house of Israel, thus ye speak, saying, our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we pine away in them. How then can we live?" This is so true. They are at the mercy of God. There is nothing else that will deliver them but the mercy and grace of God. And He will deliver His elect from among them, from that captivity, that Babylonish captivity. He will deliver them. It may be through judgments that are about to come that He will do this. In fact, I believe that that's exactly what's going to happen. And others, of course, will die. And we've had dreams about ones that will die. And then there's a story that I'm going to tell you. It's all about attempted murder by witchcraft. And this story started around the latter part of July 2020 through the first week in August of 2020 when we wrote this up. We had an attempted assassination of Sandy Shaw because her dreams were revealing the faction's sins. And they who at one time all believed in her dreams now hated them for correction. As you know in the scriptures, whenever a prophet or prophetess corrected the wicked, they got hatred for it. Even though it came for their sakes, they gave back hatred for it and murder. So we're not sure if all of the faction knows about this story, but some do. And according to our dreams, the factious leader had sent a spy to us who was claiming repentance. We later tested this woman and found her confession very shallow. Years ago, her husband had come here and they were seeking reconciliation. And this didn't last very long. And she left us in faction. And then when she was hunting a man and found one in prison in another state, she admitted that this was a terrible mistake, which she was warned it would be. So now she showed up years later at the Shaw's door claiming repentance. We knew that she had been among the factious, but she told us she didn't have faction and was not among them, except for associating with some of them on Facebook, because she knew that we knew this. Okay. Everyone was kind to her, and we wanted so much, you know, for her to really be repenting. We had a real desire and a happiness that she might be repenting. So we were all kind to her. We gave her a chance. And then she started lying and slandering Sandy to her friend behind her back and was caught. The friend reported everything that was said to Sandy, which is total lies. So we knew that she had not repented and that, of course, she was among the faction. She had their same spirits. And she also mumbled things about seeing the dead and other things, and we realized that she was a witch and that that's why the factious leader was using her. So anyway, when she showed up at their house, I sent an email off to them to tell them to test this visitor. That was in July the 20th, 2020. Here it is, Jeff and Sandy. The Lord reminded me of some of, I'm just going to call her that sister, sins against us and her part in the faction. He reminded me what he showed us to tell the factious leader that if he doesn't confess his sins, then that we can prove he has not repented. And because he also had faked repentance to me a couple of times, but never confessed any sin, even though we have absolute proof and witnesses against him. So, the same is true for her, I said to them. Everyone who repents is not afraid to confess their sins. If she does not have grief for her sins, you should quickly show her the door. I think you had a dream of her coming back, and you were pushing her out the door. Yes, this was true. So, I mean, Sandy's dreams have been spot on, and our other dreamers, too, have been spot on. So, anyway, I went on to say, please force this issue kindly now before our meeting tonight. She should not be in your house if she does not do a good job of repenting, because she is just a spy for the faction. Let's command those demons out of your house. They are deadly. Well, how prophetic that was. It came to pass. If she does not confess her sins sincerely, don't let her seduce you. Love, David. Yes. Well, here's some of Sandy's story. We called it Die, Just Die. Sandy Shaw. I was asleep in a room at the hospital having dialysis. And I dreamed that this woman, this witch actually, was in the room with me. She was yelling at me, die, just die. What are you waiting for? And then I woke up. Well, you know, they had been very fast friends, inseparable friends, before this woman left with faction. And, of course, they turn on people that they once loved with hatred. If it doesn't go along with the demons that are provoking them, that demon turns that person to hatred and witchcraft, and slander, and railing, etc. So, this woman was sent to release a spirit of death in the Shaw house to kill Sandy, and almost did. But we prayed for her and commanded her healing, and she got a miraculous healing, which she's going to tell you about here. But this spirit killed Mama May. That's Sandy's mother. And I'll talk to you a little bit more about her in a few minutes. But here's Sandy's testimony about her near death, but saved through prayer. Absolutely. The power of Satan cannot match even God's little finger to save. It just can't do it. They think their God is God, but he fails a lot. From the very beginning of this faction, he has failed a lot. Even the factious leader said, if it would have been of God one time when he came out of the first or second faction. I forget, he was in it four times now. But when he came out of it, he said, he was telling one of the other factious leaders, he said, well, if it would have been of God, it would have worked, but it didn't, and it wasn't of God. And at that time he came back, but turned again. So anyway, here's Sandy Shaw. And this was around 8/6/20. I was waiting and believing for a healing, and for the next few days I had trouble breathing. This was all when that spirit of death was being released in the house and all this stuff, you know. And it wasn't because of my lungs that I was laboring. They were clear. Jeff said, please, Sandy, don't go this way. Let me call 911. And when 911 got there, they couldn't find a pulse. And the oxygen they put on me was not helping. They hurried and put me in an ambulance and put a different mask on that forced air. They were talking among themselves. They said, there's no way she's going to make it. They're trying to start an IV on me, and my veins were collapsing. They said, look, she's already purple. She's not going to make it. Someone grabbed my hand and looked at my fingertips. They said, she's not getting any air. And that's when I said, Lord, let this be in your hands. Let it be your will. And when I got to the ER, there was a team of people working on me. They still had the mask on me with the forced air. They couldn't find my pulse. And after several attempts with different nurses, they pulled one of a surgical team, and he found the vein. And one of the three doctors said, we need to put her on a ventilator. I said, no. And the other doctor said, if you don't, you're going to die. I said, so be it. I already gave it to God. And the other said, how is she talking to us? The other nurse grabbed my arm and was drawing blood. She tried to get me to lay down. I said, no, I'm not laying down. Take it from here. The doctors left the room, and I still had the mask on. And by now, it was about 1 hour since arriving at the hospital. And when the nurse came, I said, I'm getting a very bad headache. And I know it is because of the mask. She said, I'll be right back. She went to get an order to reduce the amount of air. I asked her, is there any way to warm that up? And she did. Almost 30 minutes later, my head was hurting again. And I told the nurse, I don't want to wear the mask anymore. Then she left the room and said that she would be right back, but she didn't. So I fought the tight band around my head to take the mask off. So then about 5 minutes afterwards, an alarm started beeping, and the nurses came running in, and they wanted to put the mask back on me, but I said, no, you're not. And then a nurse got a nose cannula, slightly bigger than the regular one, and they put the air on 11. Then a few minutes later, the doctor came back in with my blood results. They said, your phosphates are through the roof, 11.6, and your potassium was above 10. People are usually dead when they are this high. They don't know why that I was still breathing, talking, and still alive. They rushed me to be dilated, and I ran the 4-hour treatment. And immediately they got blood again. And I told the nurse, I'm getting my headache again. And they were adjusting the air going through the nose. And they went from 11 to 6. Pretty good, huh? Then about 15 minutes later, the doctor came in and shared that my phosphates were 8.6 and potassium was 7. All right, she was getting her healing, huh? The next morning, they took me to dialysis. Then they took my blood again. And when I got to my room, I got a headache and my nose was bleeding. Now they dropped the air down to 2. The doctor came in a little while later and said that my phosphates and potassium had dropped low enough so that I could go home tomorrow. After one more session of dialysis, they couldn't get me in the morning, so they came a little after 12 noon, and I have to be on dialysis for 4 hours, and I usually go to sleep. This time, they felt my mom hold my right hand, and I woke up quickly, expecting to see my mother, but she wasn't there. I guess not. But I could still feel her hand. There was a big clock on the wall, and it said 2:30. That's the time when Mama May died, 2:30, all the way across town, you know. Then all of a sudden, I heard my mother's voice, "Sandra, don't go out this way. Fight. Fight. God does not want you to go out this way. Fight." Then I didn't feel her hand anymore. And the nurse hurried up and came to the room. And she said, "Who's in here with you?" And I said, "Nothing." And the nurse said, "I am more tired than I think because I'm now hearing things." And when they pushed me to my room, Jeff was there. He looked like he was struggling to say something, and I told him, "You don't have to worry. I already know." He said, "What?" I said, "Mama died at 2:30. And I didn't feel her hand anymore. And that Tuesday, I went on my regular appointment to dialysis. And they ran a blood panel. And then on Thursday, all the nurses were amazed. My blood ran normal, and also my phosphates and my potassium. Yes, she told us that the nurses and the doctor were standing around just, rejoicing because they said this had to be of God because blood just doesn't act this way, you know. So that's good. Praise God. Anyway, while Sandy and Jeff were gone, Sue Gilbert was watching Mama May, who was in her 90s and very frail. She needed help to do anything. She wasn't really cognizant of much that was going on. And she had expressed a desire to go home to be with the Lord. I don't blame her. Heaven ain't bad, as I always say. She called me that she believed Mama had stopped breathing. And Michael and I went there, and we found it to be so. I didn't believe she wanted to come back, and I asked Jeff by phone, and he and Sandy agreed. So this sweet old sister went to be with her Jesus. Ain't God good? But God wasn't through. He had a plan too. Okay. Leon Lunsford, he said, I received a text from this other sister who had factioned out in anger and criticism. And she wanted to know, he said, who died. She wanted information on the death, and she also wanted to go to the funeral. I don't think so. I told her to call David because he had the information. And she said, so do you. This is a brainwashing exercise. Help me out, Leon. I just want the information. Well, this woman had also gone to Walmart to see Tayambi, who worked there. And she started screaming and railing at her very loud that we were all going to jail. She did this kind of obnoxious thing to her several times. Well, we knew they thought they had killed Sandy, and were trying hard to find out for sure because they had planned to blame it on us, as the sister above was inferring. But they were sadly disappointed. And the name of this one is The Wrong One Died. Or you might say, The Right One Died. Merlene Laughlin said, I had a vision of the factious leader and the same witchcraft sister facing each other, and he was very angry, and he shouted, The wrong one died. And she got this verse, Isaiah 44, 9 through 11. They that fashion a graven image are all of them vanity, and the things that they delight in shall not profit, and their own witnesses see not nor know, that they may be put to shame. Who hath fashioned a god or molten image that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all of his fellows shall be put to shame, and the workmen, they are of men. Let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up. They shall fear. They shall be put to shame together. This is true. And I asked the Lord, why did you let them kill Mama May? And immediately he said, because she was ready. They have killed many, and I wanted them to be seen as guilty. That's what he told me. He was going to take her home because it was time for her to go home, but he was going to let them bear the guilt of doing it. I tell you, God is awesome. And this one is, we called, Every Knee Will Bow. And this was given to Sandy on 10-10-20. In the beginning of this dream, the faction had just railed on us. We didn't hear what they said, and we were standing on a platform that was just newly built in a building where there was not any seating. Standing on the platform was Eve and Amber and Sue Gilbert and Judy and Sandy and Merlene and Debbie Finsky and Vanessa. And, you know, many of these people had good dreams, you know, and have, you know, we've recognized, and me myself too, because they've tried to kill me several times. And the Lord has told me, witchcraft, witchcraft. And he's told other people that. Even some of these people who witnessed some of the witchcraft before them, they said the Lord told them it was witchcraft, witchcraft. Yes, that's right. It is. And Sandy went on to say, we were all holding hands and crying softly. I knew our tears were for the faction and feeling a great sense of urgency for them. Well, this is because we know that the judgments written of them are now very near. The deep state is backed into a corner. They're being rounded up. They're threatening with earthquakes, you know, DEW weapons on the fault lines, and another plague that they're threatening, and so on and so forth. And, of course, they want to stop President Trump from bringing in this new economy that's going to totally cut them out because they've stole everything they've got anyway. Anyway, they're going to retaliate. We believe their retaliation is going to take down the faction. And so pray for the elect among them, saints, because, as you know, the Apostle Paul was a faction. Yes. But look what a great person he became, you know, after he was so humbled, after he treated God's people so evil, you know. So just remember, some of the worst sinners make the best saints, right? Amen. And she went on to say the people that were standing below the platform were about 30 of them. And some I knew and some I did not. And at this point, she listed the names of core people who left previous factions who were gathered together to this faction. So it's been since 2011 that we've had this trickle of faction removing people from our midst because of their sin or because of their unforgiveness or whatever. And he removed them by turning them over to these spirits. So those who left with factious spirits and roots of bitterness to defile many, including their own families. 1 John 2:19, it says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, that they all are not of us. Well, that's true, because, you know, Jesus gave the parable of the gathering of the tares from among the wheat, and binding them in bundles to burn them so that the wheat are sanctified and shine forth in the kingdom. This is what the Lord told us this is all about. Right now, it is a purification of the bride and the man-child, but in the tribulation, it's going to be the whole church that's going to go through this. Jesus said, you're going to be hated of all nations for my name's sake. People should be paying attention to this and learning from this, and not be surprised when it comes, because it looks so silly. I mean, so silly. We call them the stupid demons because there is absolutely no common sense in what they say or do. They can make up anything. Anyway, their hidden sins found them out, and the sins that they then fell into were even worse. Their sins were the same sins as their factious counterparts in the political realm, on the far, far left, you know, the communists and on, you know, anarchists, et cetera, et cetera. These are anarchists. They're rebelling against authority. None of them have ever been ordained, but they've rebelled against authority. Well, here's a pretty good picture of them, the best picture I know. I'll just read it to you. Romans 1:18-9. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hinder the truth in unrighteousness. Yes, that's exactly what they have done. They took down our videos. They took down our website. They did not want the gospel to get out. They sent hindering spirits to try to stop our communications, which they can't. And but anyway, we know what it's all about. The demons in them are being hurt, and their kingdom and their father, the devil, is being hurt by what we do. And we're kind of glad about that. And verse 19. Because that which is known of God is manifest in them. For God manifested it to them. These people receive more knowledge than 99% of the church out there. They are now more likely to get judged. Because when you know, you're held accountable. To him that knoweth not, he is not held as accountable, the Bible says. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him, since the creation of the world, are clearly seen. Well, we know God. God is good. God does good. He also sanctifies his body, and he uses vessels of honor, and he uses vessels of dishonor. And these people are being used as vessels of dishonor to crucify a body that God sees as worth it. Okay. Being perceived through the things that are made, even his everlasting power and divinity, that they may be without excuse. And they are without excuse. Because that knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and their senseless heart was darkened. Very much what God said about the Edomites who hated their brother, how God took away their sense, their wisdom was taken from them. That's exactly what has happened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, because they deny Scripture constantly, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of corruptible man, and of birds, and of four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts unto uncleanness. Yes, he did. That their bodies should be dishonored among themselves. Yes, they have. For that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. In other words, the creature being the created. They followed their created part, not the God part, right? And, you know, first of all, I know all these people. I've known them. I've ministered to them. I've cast demons out of them. I've heard their confessions of sin. I know what they were struggling with before they went crazy. I know all of it. And, you know, of course, we want people to overcome. But when people don't have that desire, they just want to be acceptable among the body, they're held accountable. And for this cause, God gave them up unto vile passions. For their women changed the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men, that was some among the people that were mentioned. Men with men, working unseemliness, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was due. And even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, which they did, God gave them up unto a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness and wickedness and covetousness and maliciousness, and full of envy and murder and strife and deceit and malignity, and whisperers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents and without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unmerciful, who knowing the ordinance of God, that they who practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also consent with them that practice them. So they, you know, like the the left wing of the government, everything they're blaming on Trump, they have done. And it's now all being proven. And it's all going to be proven on these people too. So 2 and 1 goes on to say, wherefore thou art without excuse, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest dost practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that practice such things. And reckonest thou this, O man, who judgest them that practice such things? And doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? It won't happen. It just won't happen. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up for thyself wrath in the day of wrath, and the revelation of righteous judgment of God. Yes, that's true. Who will render to every man according to his works? To them that by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and incorruption, eternal life. But unto them that are factious and obey not the truth, but obey unrighteousness, shall be wrath and indignation, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of men that worketh evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. So Sandy, who was, you know, there on the platform looking down at these people in their pit, she cried out, "No, you're wrong. You're all wrong. The word of God says every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God does not need you to believe it for it to be so. And the real question is, will you bend your knee and confess now freely? Or on the other side, when you will bow down?" Meaning after death. Oh, Lord, it can't be there. That's eternal damnation. It can't be there. It must come to repentance now. The judgment is coming. The dreams have been right. Every person who went out in faction, we had dreams of them going out in faction. We knew it before they did it. How can they say the dreams are wrong? They've always been right. Yeah. Well, they don't want them to be right. And the demons in them want to have an excuse for why they're taking these people to hell. Let's see. She said, "I woke up at 5 a.m. from sleeping all night and was ready to go drink breakfast." Jeff wasn't. What? Because we've been on a liquid fast and we're praying for these folks in our 40-day liquid fast, okay? "So while I was waiting for him, I got sleepy and I couldn't fight it, so I went back to bed within just 15 minutes from just getting up. And I remember putting my head on the pillow, and that's when God gave me this dream. And when I woke up from the dream, I saw Romans 14:11, Philippians 2:9 through 11, and Isaiah 43:23 and 24. Romans 14:11. "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, to me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to God." Amen. And Philippians 2:9-11. "Wherefore also God highly exalted him, and gave unto him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things on earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Yes. And you know, Jesus and the apostles and the prophets all died at the hands of these same people. Throughout history, God has used faction to crucify his people and his saints. And of course, they were guilty. And of course, judgment fell upon them. And it's no different today. History always repeats the things that have been are the things that shall be. And the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. So, but now they think it's different. But that's because of those deceiving demons. Their minds are reprobate, meaning rejected by God. Isaiah 43 and 23 says, this is the last verse she got, text she got, 43, 23, and 24. Thou hast not brought me of thy sheep for burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. You know, obviously they don't have a sacrifice. The Bible says if we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth, and they did, there remains no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment which shall devour the adversaries. It's a certain judgment, a certain judgment. And rather than sacrifice their flesh, they stole, fornicated, slandered, and spiritually murdered God's little ones. And the Lord went on to say here, he said, I have not burdened thee with offerings, nor wearied thee with frankincense. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast now filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast burdened me with thy sins, and thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. So true. You know, we are so ready. And I know everybody here agrees with me on this. We are so ready to welcome these lost souls back when they have repented. But a little leaven, of course, leavens the whole lump. Put forth the old leaven from among you is the command of God. And he even mentions some of their sins there in 1 Corinthians 5. So, pray with us for them. We are fasting and we are praying for them. We are asking God to bring out the elect from among them and deliver them. And myself and Michael Hare had a revelation of this the other day. I believe that after the judgment, there are going to be those who are going to live through it, and the Lord is going to grant repentance. And so we thank Father for doing that and thank him for giving us that revelation. And we believe, we trust in him. And, you know, I was thinking about the Sennacherib scenario, how that when he gathered the nations, because it wasn't just him that he came with the Assyrian Empire. It was those they had conquered that he forced into warfare too. And so they came against, they actually conquered the Israel, apostate Israel, who of course had factioned against the house of David. They conquered them. And of course they came up to Jerusalem, again, the house of David, but they failed, and they were judged. 185,000 of them were killed in that night, and it went on to say, of the mighty men, in other words, the ones that were the greatest warriors for the enemy were killed. Well, there are some people, they've just kind of settled down, even though they were factioned out, they just kind of settled down into a miserable life, because these spirits just ruin you, and you ruin you for your family, and there's no peace between you, and there's no peace between you and others. Oh, they can be very seducing, you know, but when the real person comes out, you know who's there. And so these were the people that were smitten. And, of course, the Assyrian army was scattered. And the rest of the people of God were spared because they were scattered. And Sennacherib also went back home, and he was killed by, yes, his own offspring. And so that's not unlikely that that's going to happen again. I mean, that's the Lord has given us that scenario over and over, telling us what is going to be the end of this test and trial. And kind of like the Jehoshaphat scenario, when they defended Jerusalem against three armies, and God set liars in wait against those armies, and they ended up killing each other off and leaving God's people alone. And these aren't things we thought up, because we get them by faith at random in the morning. We all get a word that the Lord wants to speak to us by faith at random, and He has spoken these to us so many times, along with the Red Sea and the Northern Army and Joel chapter 2. All of these were supernatural works of God. All of these scenarios were supernatural works of God. It wasn't anything that the people in Jerusalem did that brought about this victory, or the bride that brought about this victory. It was God's ultimate anger against the enemy, and His wrath poured out. And the Red Sea, same thing, you know. They thought that God's people were caught between Migdol and the Red Sea, but then God parted the sea, and they were so foolish to follow God's people into the part. And then Moses, the man child, brought the waters back together and took them down. He was used to part it, and He was used to bring it back. And this is also the man child's job, who is coming now. So God has given so many times revelations like that, and many, many more. Those are the most common ones. And they all have that one thing in common, and that is the wicked came after God's people, and God went after them. And there is a very, very wicked leftist organization that's ruled over this country for many years behind the scenes. That is the elite, the Illuminati, the deep state, so on and so forth. And they're a murderous bunch. And I believe that they're going to overstep their bounds here directly. And they're going to, of course, it's going to kill a bunch of people. And God says who goes and who doesn't. And I believe that this is going to bring the wrath of God against them and wipe them out. I'm talking about the deep state. And they will be chasing them down. We've had dreams about it. They will be capturing them. They will be taking them to Gitmo. And many of those will be killed for their evil that they have done. Well, Father, we put our trust in You, Lord. We thank You. We praise You. We know Your good plans for us. We know the great blessing You're bringing with You. And we thank You so much, Father. In the name of Jesus, please, Lord, save these lost souls that are Yours. We know You've humbled them, and we ask You to save them. We ask You to do a quick work in them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, saints, God bless you. We've done it again. God be with you and keep you. Pray for us. Pray for the faction. And thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.